Welcome to Nintendo Dads, episode 152, recorded on October 25th, 2017. On tonight's episode, we talk about the new Animal Crossing Pocket Camp iOS app, 4.0.0 revelations and updates for the Switch update, and Derek Bittner from Game Explain joins us, and lots more. Zach, cue the music.
Welcome, everyone. My name is Justin Mazz, and I am your host tonight for Nintendo Dads. Thank you so much for joining us today. Is October 25th? 6th? Well, it's the 6th for me, 5th for you. 25th. That's how time zones work. All right, and joining me on the mic, we hear some of those great voices. First and foremost, the man who can't seem to understand how a podcast works and why he doesn't need to update his computer at 9 o'clock at night, Zach Erickson. Zach, what's going on, sir?
Hey, thanks for stepping into the seat, Justin. Microsoft decided that it was going to do like a mandatory update right as we started with the show. So that was nice. I'm good. I'm closing in on level 12 in Animal Crossing, so that's good.
Good. A guy that we never force his update, Jesse Waldack, VG Tribune. How are you, sir?
Pretty good. I'm more tired than normal because this is my second night in a row of podcasting. Because I guested last night on the Nintendo PowerCast through their episode 43. So they had hosted by the N64 Josh. He had four guests on, so he called it the Voltron of podcasts.
And having like four or five people on our show is just like a regular show,
right? Anyway, so the way he had all the on our YouTube, I just let Skype pick where the faces lie. I don't really care. But he actually picked where the faces was arranged in his OBS. And the way he organized it, he had two at the bottom, two in the middle, and then him on top. So I'm like, so if we're Voltron, does that mean I'm Pidge? I'm the left arm.
There you go. Yeah. Speaking of a guy that if I forced his picture to be somewhere in my Skype screen, it'd be right in the center all the time. Marty Estes. Marty, what's going on, buddy?
Aw, that's so sweet. I'm not closing in on level 12 in Animal Crossing because I had stuff to do today.
That's fair enough. All right. And a guy who probably has a Tom Nook, I Love Tom Nook tattooed somewhere on his body, it's Derek Bittner from Game Explain. Derek, what's going on, sir?
Not too much. I definitely don't have Tom Nook anywhere on my body. I don't play Animal Crossing that much. I'm excited for people who love the series for Pocket Camp, but I am level zero in that game. I have not even bothered downloading the Australian version. No, instead, today I got to play... There you go. There's the extortionist. today I got to play the Japanese demo for Sonic Forces, all 3 minutes of it.
We are going to talk about Sonic Forces a little bit later today, but it did not seem like a good experience. Is that a quick headline I can bury there, Derek?
I mean, the demo itself is terrible. I couldn't tell you a thing one about the game because I haven't had enough time. Like, yeah, 3 minutes on three different levels does not make for a good experience.
I bet we'll be talking about it longer than they let you play it.
Yeah, I think we already have.
Yeah, exactly. Perfect. Well, with that being said, there is a lot of news to unbundle. So, Derek, thanks for joining us today, by the way. It's awesome to have you back on here. And I know it's super busy for you guys. You got a lot going on, but it's great for you to join us. And we're thankful for that. So that being said, let's jump into it. But of course, the news is brought to us by some people. Marty, did you know that? Do you know
it's brought to us by some people? In fact, can I tell you something?
This you can tell me anything.
The news is brought to us by eight new patrons over at patreon.com/NintendoDads.
That is amazing.
Yeah, holy crap.
It's pretty crazy. I didn't realize it until I logged on just a few minutes ago to pull up these names. We want to say thank you to all of our patrons, but especially to our brand new patrons. I'm going to list these guys for you. Jumping in this week, Gabe Bourgeois.
Well, he was a Patreon subscriber until you butchered his last name. Cool. Yeah. Awesome. Thank you.
Okay. Well, if that's your last name, I'm sorry. I don't know. Ryan Austin, Dean, Bustler, Brad McConnell, Tim Madel, Kellyanne Reisch, Andrew DeFusco, and Jonah Newman, all jumping on the Nintendo Dads Patreon train this week. Toot, toot.
Choo choo! Thank you guys so much for that. That is awesome, and obviously we are well above our recent goal that we wanted to meet. And thank you guys so much for your continued support. It's awesome. So with that being said, let's jump into some of our news, shall we? That's typically
right. Yeah, let's do it.
I guess do it. Yeah.
Well, since you're the host, I would say do it this week.
Thank you. Yeah. Let's bump Zach down to the bottom. Right. We'll call you when we're ready.
I'm just gonna hang out. You know what? Just as a live update, I have two updates for you. Update number one: we are now at 30% of the Microsoft system update, and also I am officially level 12 in Animal Crossing.
So what we're gonna do while we're waiting for Zach to get back up to speed here is see how fast he can level up.
We're gonna tune in very randomly. Beep, 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 beep. Can we have an update on Animal Crossing there, Zach? I'm on level 13. All right, let's jump into it. So, guys, there are a couple pieces of news today, and I guess we will lead off with kind of the big one that was announced yesterday. Nintendo held a Animal Crossing Direct specifically for their mobile game, which came up being Animal Crossing Pocket Camp. And there is a direct, it was approximately about 10 to 12 minutes, as I recall, where it outlines their mobile strategy. And just as a quick headline to this, it will be officially, I'm going to use the words, officially released to your device of choice.
In North America. It is officially released in Australia. Okay. I think that's fair to say.
Okay, sure. So officially released in North America and Europe in late November. They don't have a specific date, but as Zach has alluded, it is actually currently available in Australia. Now, Zach, it's available for both iOS and the Google Play Store. Is that correct?
I believe so. I can only speak for iOS, but okay. There you go.
It's officially available for both.
Perfect. Okay.
Yeah. And so the reason that I say it is officially available is because the first time I launched it, I actually created an Australian My Nintendo account and was able to sync to it. So even their servers, like you can go in and see all of the missions and the rewards and stuff. And then I soon realized, wait a minute, if I do this, I won't be able to sync it to my Canadian account. So I started over. So I currently am not synced to the My Nintendo account, but anyway, okay, yeah,
fair enough. So maybe let's Zach, you and Marty did a little bit of a debrief of this, and Derek, did you do a bit of a? You watched the direct, I assume.
Yes, I watched the direct and then did a discussion on it once it finished. Got some guests on that know Animal Crossing a little bit more than I did. Sure. That way, somebody that knows what they're talking about can say what they think of this this news.
Yeah, perfect. So let's have a little bit of a chat of it. And Marty, Zach, you guys did a debrief. What did you think of this? Are you excited? Give us the lowdown on this.
When I first heard about it, I was tentatively excited. Having downloaded it from an Australian account and played it today, I can definitely say that I'm way more excited about it now than I was. I would say that if we were to take Nintendo's mobile offerings and we were to just look at what we would say are the three, you know, Nintendo specific. I mean, we've got Pokemon Go and everything out, you know, Pokemon apps, but just the ones that are released under Nintendo's own name. This is definitely the most full game experience out of the three. And I'm counting Mario Run in that. Mm-hmm. And the reason why is I think the out of the three, and of course, Miitomo, we don't really have anything to go on, but out of the three, this is the one that stays closest to the spirit and the gameplay of the original. This is Animal Crossing.
Absolutely.
This is Animal Crossing. And now it's been tweaked for mobile, and you should expect that on the front end. But this is a full-fledged Animal Crossing game, and I was pleasantly surprised by that. I mean, they showed that off, I think, very well in the direct, that you're able to move your character around, and it's not just tap and, you know, go to the next thing or tap on this building to build it or whatever. It's, you know, you're playing it like you would play Animal Crossing mobile on 3DS or the Switch. And you can definitely see the influences from what they've done on the 3DS. There's a lot of Happy Home Designer here. There's a lot of things from New Leaf that are carrying over. And I would definitely say probably things from this and those two games that are going to carry over to the Switch version eventually as well. But overall right now, I mean, just from I'm level four in the game. So I like just initial impressions. I'm happy with it. It's definitely more than I expected them to do. Nice. Let's put it that way.
Derek, what are your thoughts on this so far?
I mean, I'm already was impressed when they showed how it was. Cause my biggest question was how they were going to balance this between a fully fledged game and that enough of a game that people got interested in, wanted to play the mobile version, but not too much of a game that it would take away from the eventual Switch version. And with the camping idea, I feel like they found that perfect balance. And I'm even more so impressed because it's more of a game than Happy Home Designer ever was. I got that game early, played it for a potential review. I think I reviewed, I can't even remember. And that game did nothing for me because I could literally put a plant in the middle of the room or not even touch the room and say done. And they'd be happy with it. And there was no game to it to me. It was just a dollhouse. And to see that you actually have stuff to work towards, you can decorate, there's goals to meet, there's challenges to do, there's materials to do. There actually feels like goals. That's a major step in the right direction. And we're already seeing how Nintendo handles their microtransactions very much in the same way as Fire Emblem Heroes, where you have that payment option, but you still have ways that you can earn it in game. So you don't have to spend a dime if you really don't want to. And they're pretty generous with it, at least with Heroes. I'm going to assume, since you guys have been so happy with it, that they're pretty generous with their Leaf tickets as well.
Yeah, I would definitely say that, because I don't actually have any, like an Australian credit card, right on my
which they just trade in like beers and shrimp, as I recall, for their currency on the stock market, eh? Right? Okay,
yeah, and like kangaroo scrotums, I think, too. But the only reason I say that is because that's like a novelty.
That escalated quickly, didn't it?
Wallet made out of one of those every time I have somebody go to Australia. I have a sister who lives there, so anyway, I own one. I would definitely say that, like. I don't even have the option to buy those tickets, and it does not, like, you can keep fishing literally all day if you want to. And that's something, and, you know, just hypothetically, but that's, there's a lot, there's constantly things to do in this game. Really, the tickets are mostly used for, I would say right now it's either for speeding up like the crafting piece, or there are on the shop, there are two items that you can only buy with Leaf tickets. And those are a high enough price. They're 250 Leaf tickets each. And I think if I would have saved all of my Leaf tickets so far, I maybe would have enough for one of them, but not quite. But like, it's fine. So the two special items, one of them is Tom Nook's chair, and one of them is KK Slider's stool. And so if you want Tom Nook or KK Slider to hang out in your campsite, then you could buy those with Leaf tickets. But otherwise, you know, that's basically all the...
I was noticing earlier when I was gathering up all of my rewards for completing challenges, you know, that you can go in and you can get... I think Isabel gives you daily challenges, and she gives you some like evergreen challenges you can complete as you go through. You reach level four, you reach everything. You get 100 Leaf tickets for connecting your Nintendo account.
Mm. Oh yeah.
So they're gonna be pretty generous with them
for Twitter.
But I would say that they're not going to be generous enough that it makes it easy to get those items.
No.
If you get one,
they'll be. Yeah, for sure. Well, and I would say too, part of the reason that I am as high as I am in this game right now is because the other thing that I didn't mention is that you can buy additional crafting slots. So when you start the game, you have one slot that will craft the amenities, which are like kind of like the town projects or whatever, right? Like in the background, you have those things in the background of your campsite. One of them is for building those. The other one is for building furniture. You can spend 80 Leaf tickets to buy yourself another crafting slot. And so I bought both of them. Like, that's basically the first thing I bought. So that then when you, instead of having like spending like 7 hours building this one piece of furniture and then spending another 7 hours building the next set of furniture, you just build them both at once. Right. So nice. It actually is a huge time saver. And for anybody who's doing this, like, you know, remember this a month from now, if you're not interested in doing it now, but like buy those slots first, because that's like by far the most important thing for you to buy early on. So,
it sounds like we've got a pretty decent game here. Obviously, Derek, you made the reference before. It sounds more expanded than Happy Home Designer, which is good. I know my daughter, I showed her the video yesterday, and she's quite excited for it. And she really enjoyed Happy Home Designer. So I guess here's my question to you guys. Do you think, knowing now what the mobile strategy for this is going to be, and I don't see, and maybe I missed something, I think the ideal version that everyone had for an Animal Crossing game was that you'd be able to do something in your app on the game, maybe, you know, that would have some relevance or connective tissue over to an actual game on the Switch. I don't see any hooks. Derek, what do you see for that? Anything?
There's none yet, but as we did it, I had a bunch of us on for a discussion last night, soon after the actual direct. It's notable that there's no connectivity to the 3DS, but Kimishima, when he was first talking about this game, did say how it would interconnect with other Animal Crossing titles. Mm. So if it doesn't work with the 3DS one, probably works with the Switch one eventually. Right. So it's all but confirmed that, you know, if they keep the connectivity, it's definitely going to have some kind of connectivity with the Switch version. I'm almost positive that one, like 95% sure.
I would say that one of the things, you know, that with adding to New Leaf, when they added the Welcome Amiibo functionality, and it came, and all of a sudden everybody's got an RV, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then now they've gone all in with the RV. I was saying this with Zach last night. I would love to see the Switch version of Animal Crossing be connected to like, you know, you've always had your town, but what if it was Animal Crossing on vacation?
Mm-hmm. That'd be cool.
You had a vacation home, and you were, you know, you were setting up your vacation house or something. I really feel like, though, you know, speculation aside, I really feel like that RV is the connection. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, there's like something with that moving forward. There's a reason you're going to be putting all this time into an RV. Maybe I'm completely wrong. That sounds very feasible.
Yeah, we were saying yesterday too, Marty, like, imagine you begin your, you begin the Animal Crossing on Switch, and it prompts you to sign into My Nintendo, and it like pulls your Animal Crossing save. And instead of coming into town on the bus at the beginning of the game, you drive in your RV from this game, right? Like, that would be awesome. That'd be a very cool connection there. But
yeah.
I guess the other thing, as far as potential there, one thing that I did notice today while I was playing through in the market in this game, Isabel actually has a mobile, or like a town hall on the road, like a mobile sort of thing. Right now in the game, all it does is lets you look at your progression goals and like things like that, that you can also just very quickly access from the menu. And so I wonder if my guess is that one day they'll update this and you will be able to go to Isabel at the market and talk to her about whatever you're doing at this with the Switch game. Like, that's maybe where the crosstalk will be at that. So
yeah, I don't know. All it needs is a simple update. That's why I'm not too concerned about it not having Switch connectivity now, because they don't want to announce that an Animal Crossing game is on the way, obviously. They want to have that full big reveal and then have an update saying, by the way, you'll be able to have this connectivity.
Yeah. A couple of things about this as well. If you're interested, folks, they actually have a website currently open that you can actually go and pre-register. So basically, when the game becomes available, you will get a notification. You can actually link in your My Nintendo account as well to get that notification. I think this allows, because of the positioning of this mobile game, I think it frees up the IP or the Animal Crossing IP to actually do some new things with it, because I think it satisfies a lot of components of the game. So I'm campaigning that Animal Crossing converts to becoming a first-person shooter. and I think that is a market that is not yet satisfied. And what do you guys think of that?
I mean, based on Smash, we got the slingshot, we got the axe. I mean, there's you can cause some carnage.
Right. Yeah, I think there's a marketplace.
Warriors, man.
Listen, don't even start the Animal Crossing Warriors stuff, because that actually gets me excited. I'm like, yes.
If anyone out there wants to Photoshop or draw us a picture of what Animal Crossing Warriors would look like and send that in to nintendodads@gmail.com, we will feature your artwork on our next episode, presuming it is
I'm thinking, like, you know, you've got KK Slider. He's hitting people with the guitar.
Oh yeah.
You know, Tom Nook's raining coins from the sky.
You got what's the coffee bird?
Oh, the Brewster.
Like, Brewster is just throwing coffee on everybody and like burning them. Awful.
This sounds amazing. Nintendo, please, for the love of all this good and holy, make Animal Crossing Warriors.
Here's something. Again.
Get the bird that handles the fossils. He tosses out different fossils. They come to life.
Again, fan art of this concept to nintendodads@gmail.com, and we will highlight your amazing
work. The more
work.
You talk about it, the more I'm dissatisfied with my current options in gaming.
Mowing down hundreds of those. What are they? Gyroids, they're called?
That's yes,
what these are.
That'd be fantastic.
Well, the gyroids are uprising.
I had a joke, but at the last minute and a half, it's not going to be as funny.
That's fair.
I was going to say, maybe it'll make you have to push shoulder buttons to simulate putting in quarters to play it, right, Marty?
Oh, geez.
Oh, Lord.
That's a horrible game.
The worst mechanic in gaming ever. Sorry.
Which one was that from?
That's from the arcade classics.
I never actually picked up the Mario Brothers arcade classics. You
literally have to push the shoulder buttons to put in coins.
It's an arcade.
Wow.
It's part of
the logic. Realistic? I don't know.
Yeah. It's an emulator of an arcade game.
Yeah, Zach and I got it. The other two didn't. So
yeah. Well, listen. I don't know about you guys, but when I go play arcade games, I always push the shoulder buttons on the cabinets to put in my coins.
All right. If you're still passionate about this, go back to episode 148. All right, and listen to our argument about that.
Man, I will say, like, not to get off topic, but that arcade, that Mario Brothers came and went. Like, it was like, hey, this is the thing. Oh, yeah. It came out. Nobody really talked about it and gone.
We probably talked about it the most.
Yeah, I don't know when they're releasing the next sets of those, but I think that there was some, I don't know, there may have been some feedback received. Yeah.
It's surprising that we haven't seen, because otherwise, like in all of those, in the previous ones, they showed, like, it was like 2 weeks apart, right?
Yeah. Yeah, they were dropping them pretty fast. Well,
really, other than Punch Out, which they didn't officially announce, they just showed it, and I'm not sure if they even meant to. I don't know. I couldn't care less about the other games.
Yeah. All right, so guys, that's Animal Crossing. We're going to talk, obviously, a lot more about it as we get closer. Again, there is no official North American date or Europe date yet by the end of November, so you've got like, you know, a 35-day window at this point of this recording. Also, people, you know, seriously, they may wait till the very end of the month. Don't get all argy-bargy about it, okay?
It's going to be November 30th.
I hate seeing people on the internet like, well, Nintendo promised me.
Yeah. Well, you know,
they have plenty of other crap to play until Animal Crossing.
Yeah, exactly, exactly.
Like, Nintendo's a person. Like, Nintendo.
Mom promised me Mario. Yeah, so it's going to work. All right, let's moving on to some other things. Now, last week we did talk about a System 4.0 update on the Nintendo Switch. There are a couple things that actually came out recently that we had not yet discovered. A couple news items here that I'd want to draw our attention to. And obviously, Derek, you're going to be a huge insider information on a couple of these. But we actually have the access to wireless USB-supported headphones. And the other one that was just discovered, I think you guys did some coverage on this, was a GameCube adapter. Is that correct?
Yes. So the headphones one came out, and I think that was sort of expected or something like that. Like, people able to figure it out and handle it. And I know Ash is a huge fan of, he has these Sony headphones he used for his PlayStation. He loves them. They cancel out everything else around him, gets this full audio experience. He just lives for them. And he tested out for the Switch, works just fine there. So he's in hog heaven for late night gaming where he doesn't have to disturb his wife, which is a cool feature. Great to see them add it. And as many people have mentioned, leads to the possibility of headphones that have this nice little mic there that you might be able to use that instead of their phone app if they decide that that was a failure based on Splatoon. Who knows? But the possibility is there now. The bigger one, of course, that has a lot more people excited is the fact that it supports the Wii U GameCube adapter that came with Super Smash Brothers for Wii U.
Yeah.
And I believe the one who originally discovered this was Mew King on Twitter. And he just posted an image saying, yes, this works. Here is, these are GameCube controllers. And a fan of ours very graciously saw this, sent it our way. And I immediately jumped on it to test to make sure that it was real. And yes, it was. And I reported on that as quickly as I could. And I'm pretty sure we're the ones that broke the news, or at least got it wider in a wider range of people so that it started spreading like wildfire. And I mean, that's the great thing about this is that now all of a sudden, if we do get a GameCube Virtual Console, we have a nice way to play those games. We can still have the sensitivity of the shoulder buttons once again. And of course, Smash Brothers, the eventual Smash Brothers Switch.
They're going to have to re-release the adapter.
Yeah, that's good. That is going to be a necessity. Now, I have heard from people that third-party adapters do work. So they've tested those out, like the unofficial adapters, okay, and they've all worked.
I'll try that to the show. I have a third-party adapter that lets me plug GameCube into the PC. I'll test that when I enter the show. But
yeah, that's a good idea.
I don't know where my Wii U one went. So
Okay.
Somewhere in a box back there.
Somewhere around there. I was curious, though. I was like, okay, if that USB port works, does it work with anything else? And I have a wired Xbox 360 controller that I use for PC gaming whenever I happen to do it, not very often, and plugged it in. And unfortunately, while the center of ring started circling a bit, I couldn't get it to actually work with the Switch. So there is still some limitations. It basically seems to be only the GameCube.
Yeah, it seems like obviously that the USB ports have now become, I would use the word, active, right? Or usable in some way. Is there any other USB things that we can think of that might now have an impact? I was thinking obviously very quickly, like SD cards, or not SD cards, memory expansion.
That would be a good way to have like external hard drives. Yeah.
Yeah. I wonder if anyone's tested that one.
You know what? Yeah. I'm just waiting for.
Well, yeah, but you're stuck docked if you're using the wireless headsets, unless you're using some kind of like weird USB-C to dongle USB thing. Yeah.
I did see somebody have like an adapter at the bottom of their the Switch when it was undocked.
Yeah.
So they could put a USB in and still use the GameCube controllers. It's just a lot more involved.
You know what I want them to finally do? Just being honest. Why can I not get that little light up ring around my home button? Where is that?
Oh,
where's my light up ring? You know, it lights up for notifications. I get notifications all the time about you guys being online and playing games and all kinds of other stuff. Where's my light up ring? I don't care about USB headphones.
So Marty, this is what just happened at Nintendo. Someone's like, oh, so we just heard the Nintendo dads want the thing to light up on the Joy-Con. Everyone, stop doing the virtual console. We've reprioritized our work. We understand that's the most important thing right now. Bob, get off that project. I don't care. What is that? Is that that's the next Animal Crossing game? No, just scrap that.
I'm going to be honest. That's not where I thought you were going with that. I thought you were going, the Nintendo dads just said they want the light up ring. Who are the Nintendo dads?
No, they know who we are. They know who we are. They do. Yeah. Anything
else? Seriously, like I'm all for this. Like, because you get it. You know how everybody, when the Switch came out, they were saying it feels unfinished. It feels like there's more here. It feels like it's true. Mm-hmm. I mean, Nintendo is slowly unlocking the potential of the Switch over time. There's things that they're adding to it. There's things that they're showing us that it can do. And more importantly, This, I think 4.0 update shows us they are listening to people more than they ever have before. Mm-hmm. You know, they're trying to make what people want the Switch to do a reality. Whether it was designed to do that in the beginning or not, I'm inclined to believe it was designed to do this in the beginning, and they're just now adding it in, you know, or locking it, which makes me wonder what else is in there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what other capabilities does this console have that we don't know about yet?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, it's exciting, you know, to think, cause I mean, I don't know that I've ever like been super excited for firmware updates before.
Yeah. I like speculations and craziness. Derek, anything that you're kind of hoping that's maybe in there that's not satisfied, but you're like, oh man, I hope it's buried.
I can't think of anything off the top of my head, although an external hard drive would be nice. And, you know, all you have to do if like you're going on a trip and you can't have it all on the onboard memory, maybe transfer it around so you have this data on this. That way you could bring it along with you. And that might be especially more of a big deal, especially with third party games being as big as they are, how even on the physical Doom doesn't come with multiplayer. You have to download it separately. Mm. And how some of these other third-party titles are having some huge file sizes.
Yeah.
So if you're still only using the 32 gigabytes of onboard memory, you're running out of space really quickly, especially since there's a wealth of options. Now, I do have the expansion, but the max you can get at this point, I think, is like 250, 256.
Yeah.
And that'll run out eventually, too. So an external hard drive would be nice, although they did say that once 2 terabyte ones come out, they'll support it. So
right. Well, so interesting fact to that, actually, I'll raise my hand to that just yesterday, or what would be your today, my yesterday, thank you, time zones. I actually, for the first time, went out and bought a micro SD card for my Nintendo Switch.
Wow.
So I have gone almost, thank you. Yeah. Thank you for the applause. I appreciate that. It was a big, big opportunity for me. Me and the
big boy pants on.
I know, right? Yeah. me and the guy had a lot of a conversation. It was a tough decision about which one to go with. But I mean, so almost 6 months later, I finally moved over to that. And to your point, it was because of so much more digital content coming out now. Mm-hmm. Right. I mean, I'm actually, you know, it's funny you're talking about these file sizes for some of these third parties. So I'm just on my Switch right now because I, you know, have it handy. And just as an idea of kind of what you're talking about for file sizes, data management. So.
Well, I know for a fact that Fire Emblem Warriors is about 13 gigs.
Right. So Super Mario Odyssey is 5. Mm-hmm. My second biggest is Snake Pass at 4.2 gigs. Mm-hmm. And then followed by ARMS at 2.6.
Yeah. Nintendo are wizards at keeping those file sizes down. But now that other, like you hear about NBA 2K, WWE, and presumably everything else that's coming out for the Switch, like Skyrim, Doom, LA Noir, they're probably going to have some pretty big file sizes.
Yeah. Yeah, that is it. I really wish Nintendo would kind of have an opportunity and share. Like, here's how we make it
smaller,
right? That would be nice. So... yeah, absolutely. So hopefully expansion. Anything else you'd want on that, Derek?
I can't think of anything, but I'm also very easy to please. So I like the idea of like, okay, this feels pretty good. And if they can add this in, but nothing specifically with the USB slot. I still want themes for the Switch itself, mm-hmm. but you know, that's totally cosmetic. It's not exactly as functional as what the USB could add.
Talk about this this myth that the GameCube adapter doesn't work anymore with the 4.0.1 update?
I think you just did. Yeah, that's a good segue.
I actually tested that just before we started this.
Yeah, so there is an update right now. We just should be on your Nintendo Switch to ask to update. It goes to 4.0.1. We were actually just getting ready to record. Derek noticed it and actually got up and left to test for the GameCube, right?
Yep. I wanted to test because, you know, good news update for us, for one, if that is the case. For two, I'm like, that's weird if they took it out, like it was a mistake. Like, that feels very intentional if they put that in there. So I couldn't believe they'd remove it. And I tested it out, and while it didn't connect right away like it did before, there's a way if you go to Find Controllers, it'll recognize it afterwards. And that's, I did Find Controllers, went back, and it did work. So the functionality for GameCube controllers is still there.
Great. Okay. But I mean, I don't think we've
got good news for you. Guess what?
What?
You Guess what?
Wobble Puffet? Wobble Buffet?
Oh, good.
You're back. I was waiting for our next Animal Crossing update and where your computer was. Yeah. Okay. Well, will you play with the soundboard there, and I'll call you when we need you.
I am actually level 13. Did I say that?
No, you did now.
No, that's new.
Do you have a breaking news sound bumper yet?
Nope, because I'm in my Animal Crossing app right now, so I don't. Nice.
Okay. So yeah, guys, go check out your updates. I think those were the big things for the update. I want to move into what we've been playing here in a second, but I put a quick note in there. Any other news items you guys can think of this week?
No.
Well, the Sonic Forces demo dropped in Japan earlier, and let's just say this. And we probably don't need to talk about this very long. is not getting good reviews so far because they let you play for 60 seconds.
Let me see if I can find let me just get the, I won't play the whole thing, but my son's actual reaction to the end of it here, I think, says a lot. Where are we here?
Yeah, they showed that to me before we started, and yeah. His reaction is about right, because I did a preview. I was like, oh, do the usual thing, like, oh, demo's out, I'll show it off, give my reactions as I play it. And that first, it went to thank you for playing after a minute, and I didn't even realize, like, wait, what happened?
Yeah,
like, that's it. What?
They literally only let you play for 60 seconds before it shuts it off. Which, by the way, so here we go. This is my son's actual reaction. For context, and you can go over to our YouTube channel and see the whole thing, but he's played through the level 60 seconds. This is immediately after it said thank you for playing.
What do you think?
Boring.
Boring? What do you think about it being so short?
I don't know if you can hear that over the speaker.
Did he just make a fart sound?
Yes, that was his entire. That was his only reaction.
He was just not impressed. It was wonderful,
and it was not. It was not.
There was a 60-second time limit before giving it to him, or was that surprise to you too?
Oh no, I knew, and I didn't tell him.
Okay. One of those dad tricks.
Yeah, I was like, this is gonna be good. I want to make sure that he. I get his unfiltered reaction to this.
Right. So, we're gonna hate on this, and I'm sure Derek, you already get hate from the Sonic community as well for it. I played this at EGX, and I told it. You can check out our video. I said it was a dumpster fire of a game. This does not bode well when a game is a 1 minute demo.
When you're not even confident enough in your own game to let people play it for longer than a minute. Like, that's really what it looks like, right? Where you're like, guys, you can't let people actually play this game because then they'll find out it sucks. That's what it that's what it feels like, right? Like, where it's just like,
Derek, what are your thoughts on this?
I mean, I experienced the Sonic Forces demo at E3 a little bit. I played a little bit of it. I wasn't too impressed with it. I was like, the problem with the level. Forest, it's such a straight line. Like, I saw a video of somebody playing the demo, and all they did the entire time was hold their finger on the Y button in order to boost, and they played through the level just fine. There was no reason to hit anything else. Now, if you wanted to, of course, go for secrets and stuff, you got to do other things, but the fact that you could just hold a single button and not do anything, it really speaks ill of the design of the game so far. Now, granted, that might be level one and it just gets away with it. I don't want to come down too hard on the game yet because we don't know. But Sega's also not marketing this game very well. They're not showing what people want to see of this variety of like levels and how they think. And it's just not anything for me. Like, looks fine, but he doesn't do anything. Classic Sonic, I've only seen him do the Egg Dragoon fight against Eggman. And then the Avatar character, their control feels so different from Sonic and Classic Sonic that I just never really got to it. And I've told this story a few times on my own podcast, but when I played at E3, I played the Avatar level. I played the first two just fine, had no issues, played the Avatar level, and then it was a 2D section, and I kept falling in the same pit. And I'm like, what is going on here? There's something off about the controls. I just kept dying to the same part. Even when I knew about it, I somehow ended up in that damn pit. And I don't know what's going on with this game. I am not confident in it whatsoever, but the decision to just limit it to a minute of gameplay, like either that's all they wanted or they're hiding something in later, there's like later parts of that level. But I'm like, this was my chance to like really sit down, get a feel for it, see what the game's like, and, you know, maybe expand upon it. And they don't even give that chance. And like, what's that really say about the game when they don't give you that opportunity to sink your teeth into it?
Yeah. Yeah. This feels like, and I talked about it before, that it feels like there was so much goodwill and progression moved forward in Sonic Mania. And so many people enjoyed that this, and again, I'm obviously, you know, I think you're a better man than I, Derek, when you're like, well, I'm not going to judge it as a dumpster fire, Justin, I'm going to give it an honest try. Right. Okay. Fair enough. And there is a development team behind it and people who've done hard work and passion. So we appreciate that. But my experience, I would say, is that from where Sonic Mania is in the momentum and the positive energy and the excitement around it to shift into a game like this, where it feels lackluster, feels a little hollow and empty at certain parts. This feels like you're taking a couple steps back in Sonic potentially.
Yeah. I mean, granted, these are two very different teams working on this. This is a Sonic team working on it. But I think the biggest disappointment for me was I had a bit of confidence going into this game because it had been a while since Sonic Team had done a Sonic game. They had that bit of time off while Sonic Boom came out. And yeah, I just,
well, and they had specifically made comments like they specifically said we're going to take our time. We don't want to rush this. Yes. We want to make sure that it's a good quality product, like all of that language. And then if this is what they come out with, it's like I'm willing to be proven wrong. Right. Like, I'm not afraid to be proven wrong here. And I mean, I'm a huge like old school, like 2D Sonic fan. That was my bread and butter as a kid back in the day. But like, I don't.
So what we're hearing is, Zach, you're going to review this game for our show, right?
If we get a copy from Sega, then yes, sure. I am not spending my own money on this game. No way.
The problem with this game is, to me, I think, is timing. And the timing problem is that you've had an awesome, awesome Sonic experience with Sonic Mania. And now this is coming out, and
the same month as Mario Odyssey. Within a month of Mario Odyssey,
It's coming out within a month of Mario Odyssey. But also, I wonder how this game would be judged, like what merit this game would be judged on if it was a 2018 game, and it was far away from Mania. Because I don't see. Here's the thing: I don't think anybody is comparing this to Mario Odyssey. I really don't either. But tons of people are going to compare it to Sonic Mania. And what's going to happen is you have the official quote unquote Sonic team up against third party, you know, indie developers who have taken your original IP and just ran you down like a criminal, with it. Yeah. I mean, just run you over with it. And like, I'm like you, Zach, I grew up on 2D Sonic. You know, I played all of those games on the original Sega Genesis. So Mania was a huge return to form for me, and it was actually the first Sonic game that I would count as playable in forever. I take that back. Generations and Colors were good. Yeah. But like I said this when we talked about it a few weeks ago or a month ago or so, Sonic just doesn't work in 3D. It doesn't. You can't make something that has to be that fast be controllable. In 3D, you can't do it. And I think they're just banging their heads against the wall right now until they finally just say, you know what, we're just going to quit trying. And I don't want them to quit trying because these are actual living, breathing people, game devs who have families and things like that. Yeah. I mean, just go make different games. Give me other Sega classics.
Yeah,
go
there's a lot of those. I mean, on the plus side, one of the guys from Sonic Team, of course, worked on Samba de Amigo, and he said, I would love to make Samba de Amigo for the Switch because guess what? We have those two Joy-Cons. That's perfect for our maracas. Let's Sonic Team do something else, recharge their batteries before they go back into Sonic. And the thing is, there was reason to be excited because I love Sonic Generations. It's my favorite 3D Sonic. And I wanted to see them take that formula and put new ideas towards it. Like, let's mix it up and like just go further, not just use it as a nostalgic grab. It worked for the time because it was an anniversary game, but go beyond that. And even with Sonic Forces, we're seeing Green Hill again. We're seeing Chemical Plant again. They're getting different names, but they're essentially those levels. And it's like, did you guys learn nothing? Come on. Like, there's no reason to do this. And it hurts even more since Sonic Mania was also so nostalgic heavy. And I think that's one of its biggest weaknesses was that it had too many of the old levels. But that's it's that weird paradigm where you're not quite sure what should be best for Sonic. And it just feels like they should need to take some time and really think about it. But that's what they did with Forces, and it still didn't amount to anything. And it's gotten pretty bad. I don't know if you guys saw this, but the new Bubsy game released a new trailer today that directly made fun of Sonic. When Bubsy is making fun of Sonic
and getting away with it. Yeah. Right? No one's challenging them on that.
Could
either,
be worse.
Right?
Like, it could be Conker.
Yeah.
Which Conker? Is it the new Conker that they had for that? What was that game? Like, they had that young Conker, like, augmented reality game that Microsoft showed off for a little bit. Oh god.
I like to pretend that didn't exist.
Nice. Well, we should probably move on because at this point we have talked about the Sonic demo five times longer than the Sonic demo actually is. So let's move on. A quick other news story before we move on to what we have been playing is if currently my reading of the Nintendo eShop on the Switch is correct, Super Mario Odyssey, without being released yet, is already the second highest game selling on the eShop. So that is absolutely tremendous. I suspect that will quickly take the top spot in a matter of moments. And of course, that is from the preloading of the game. So I guess here's a question I have for you guys. Did anyone preload the game?
Yep.
Okay, Marty, Jesse, how was that experience for you? Pretty easy?
I purchased it through the website. I didn't see if there was an eShop interface for it or not, because I buy most of my games through the website directly anyway. And then when I'm logged in with my Nintendo account, make my purchase, then it automatically, like on the Switch, it won't start to download until I take it out of sleep mode, because the network is off in sleep mode. But in a 3DS and a Wii U game, the network is still active while in sleep mode, so those will just download in the background. But once
to answer your question, Justin, there is no kind of interface for it. You have to go find it, which it baffles me. They just put up the games on sale section. I think with the introduction of this being the first games you can preload. Pre-purchase, they should have had that headline that section and open that section up. So originally to find it, I had to go into the coming soon section and go down to Mario Odyssey, and it has a little green box in the bottom left-hand corner that says pre-purchase. Right. Tonight when I decided to preload it, it was, as you said, second on the bestsellers list. So it was a little bit easier to find. But I think you're right. I think by this time tomorrow, it's number one.
Yeah.
I was very split on whether to go physical or digital for Mario. I've gotten very few games physically on the Switch, and I've actually really enjoyed having so many digital choices whenever I go on a trip. I can like just have most of my library right there. But it's Mario, and I feel like I need to have a physical copy of the next 3D Mario game. I found a place that's having a midnight release, pre-ordered it there, and tomorrow night I'll be picking up the physical version and getting home as quick as possible to start playing that game.
Yeah, that's awesome. go ahead, Jesse.
So in the Voltron cast from last night, I think I'm the only one who bought it digitally. The other four all said they planned on buying, going to some store blank and picking it up, depending on where they are.
I had Derek, much like you, I had originally planned on picking up physical as well, because I'm a fan of, I have a few physical games. The rest of it's all digital, but it was one of those games. I'm like, I really want this physical. You know, I love some of those box art, and actually apparently I saw some leaked box art on the inside. They actually have the jump,
the lyrics
on the inside as well. And I guess the other thing is that tomorrow we'll actually, or not tomorrow. Yeah. Tomorrow, Friday, we should start seeing people with the Super Mario Odyssey Switch editions, right? Which include those beautiful red Joy-Cons, collector's case. Was there anything else associated with it as well?
No, that's it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. And I'm hoping to maybe see if I can find those Joy-Cons here individually sold outside of the package in the EU and maybe pick them up. I don't know. We'll have to see though. So
I suspect it won't be too long until you're able to buy those as shells that you're able to put on yourself.
You think so? That's an interesting thought.
Well, they did it with the Splatoon ones not very long after their release.
Like third party ones though, weren't they?
Yeah. They're those base stop.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So they're third party. So you can make your own if you want to. But I'm just saying they're there. They're out there. Yeah. If you want to try that, I'm still like, I love the idea of that until I watch the video. And every time I watch the video, it's like, nope, 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 nope.
Yeah. Yeah. Derek, are you rocking any kind of crazy combos for your Joy-Cons or what do you rock?
I'm still standard gray. Cause at the time when I was pre-ordering the Switch, I was like, I like the neon, but I'm like, I just want a system. So I don't care which one it is. Just get me that pre-order so I can actually have the system when it comes out. Ended up being gray. I like the neon colors, but I don't need another set of Joy-Con yet. So I haven't really had to. Well, that's an interesting combination. Color combination.
Gray and red, or gray and the red. Neon is the one.
I will say I was extremely tempted to pick up the Xenoblade Chronicles 2 Pro controller.
Oh yes,
that looks really good. I'm like,
look out for that.
I want it, but I need it.
I was really suspecting that Nintendo was going to basically do I guess they are kind of doing this, aren't they? A specific Joy-Con variant, and a Pro controller variant for almost every game.
Either or at this point.
Yeah, it really. Yeah, I was actually like, as I said that, I was like, they actually have, Justin. So stop talking. but well, I mean, Zelda, they didn't do one.
No, but they had plenty of cases for it.
And then ARMS, we had the neon. Mm-hmm. Splatoon, we had both the Joy-Con and the Pro controllers. Odyssey, we have the Joy-Cons. Mm-hmm. Pro controller for Xeno, right? So I mean, and I think this is the thing when everyone's like, oh, are they going to make a special? Are they going to make a Mario Odyssey Switch, right? Well, that's how they're going to do it. We forgot a news item, which actually kind of makes into this. This last week, Amazon announced, or was put on Amazon, a Super Nintendo
new
3DS XL.
New 3DS XL. Yeah.
Oh, right.
New 3DS XL. Yeah,
new 3DS XL. But that, I mean, you know, so, I mean, for those of you there, I don't know if any of you guys are thinking about getting one.
No.
Nope. Okay, cool.
It's an Amazon exclusive. I mean,
it looks cool.
I really should. If I had unlimited money,
then yes.
I agree. My 3DS is actually getting on its last legs with its battery, so I could use a replacement. I just can't afford one right now.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, the over here in the EU, they did the Super Famicom one, I think a month ago, a month and a half ago as well. Same idea. So yeah. Yeah, not a huge shock.
A few weeks ago, when I was playing the Leighton game, it just went blink and off.
Oh, you know, no.
Never gave me the red blinky.
Oof.
It just went from blue to off.
Here's an unpopular opinion for you. I think that I hate it when they print the system on, like, when they did this for, like, the NES one that they did a while ago that looked, like, terrible. Like, I think this one looks like garbage. I don't like it at all.
Yeah.
Not.
I think
that is an unpopular opinion, and you're entitled to have it.
And but
you're wrong, Derek. What do you think,
us, man?
I mean, it looks fine, but I have no real interest in it. I have a stack of 5 3DSs, a recording 3DS for each region, a regular 3DS, and a new 3DS based on Fire Emblem Birth Fates. Excuse me, and that's good. I have no reason to pick up an SNES one, and. I mean, it's one of those things like either it's a collector's item or somebody's finally getting into the 3DS and they're like, okay, I'll pick up that one since that looks cool.
Yeah, and this,
I mean, that's all it is at this point for me as far as 3DS.
Yeah, now this, I mean, obviously they're leaning into the nostalgia. They're obviously leaning into their recent release of the Super NES Classic. Now, this does come preloaded with your Mario Kart, Super Nintendo's Mario Kart as well. Mm-hmm. And guys, I didn't get a chance to look at it, but do you remind me, did they actually change the inside button colors
they
at
did.
All?
They did.
They did.
Really? It's the, inside, like, coloring and everything. Even the stick and the buttons are colored like the Super Nintendo plastic.
Wow.
like the D-pad color.
Oh, that's great.
And the button color and the buttons, the Y, X, B, A are the different shades of purple.
Oh, that's great. Okay, and so it's a little bit more care than they typically
grayish,
do.
Light gray interior. It's really nice.
Yeah, definitely more care than they typically do. It's not just part of like, hey, Marty, just start skinning those old ones that we got there in the corner, and we'll just package them up with Super Nintendo stuff. It'd be fantastic. Right? Like, so
I like how you just went into like Kip from Napoleon Dynamite. That was great.
You're welcome. So I think that's a nice change. But I always, and kind of looping this back to where I was thinking, I really highly doubt Nintendo will ever be like, here is the custom Nintendo Switch for a specific game. But I guess they did that in Japan, didn't they? They did that for Monster Hunter.
Yeah, I guess so. But Monster Hunter is also huge, so
I don't know. I always kind of think that like that's how they're going to make it. Like if you want the Nintendo the Mario Odyssey Switch, it's get your red Joy-Cons. Right? Like I think that's how they're going to do the variants going on. So
with the variant here, do you guys feel like they missed the opportunity to do like a blue and a red Joy-Con? Or do you think it's too close to the neon set?
I think the blue and the red, I think this dark red that they're using for Mario is really good for the game. Because there is a kind of a different tone to the game. It's not your normal Mario. It's a different Mario. So I think even getting away from that typical blue and red color scheme associated with it, but using this more of a dark blood red, I think is really, really cool, kind of like re-tilting and rebranding a little bit of Mario as well. So I think it's a great idea.
And since the focus is on Mario's hat and it's pure red, it makes sense as well. Mm-hmm. I think that works. And honestly, to just have variations on Joy-Cons rather than an entire theme system makes sense, because if you look at the Switch itself, it's just a screen. Maybe you get something on the back, but not that much because you have the stand, or you're gonna put it in the dock, mm-hmm. and it's hidden. So it makes sense. The most visible element to the Switch is are the Joy-Cons. So use those.
Yeah, it's a great. I think it's a really smart idea. I think it's real and brilliant for them to be like, and it's a low cost. Here's our Joy-Con. It's a different color. Joy-Cons are universal. Like it's anytime you pick them up, they'll have a value. I see Jesse's rocking his sexy gray.
I play my Switch in handheld mode so much. I think it looks funny when I take the Joy-Cons off.
Oh, I'm the same way.
And just having it, the screen with the small bezel.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see. I wonder what the average life expectancies of these Joy-Cons are. Do you know what I mean? Like, you know how your old controllers you play for an NES or SNES would kind of like have wear and tear? I wonder what the wear and tear market is going to be on these Joy-Cons. When should I be replacing my Joy-Cons to get new ones potentially?
I have, like, with my kids, I bet you I'm going to be replacing them. I'm probably going to be getting a new pair.
I've already replaced one.
12 to 18
less. Yeah, but your kids are eating the Joy-Cons essentially.
Yeah, they are. They really are, actually. Yeah, I have a 13-month-year-old son, and so
and my kids aren't eating the Joy-Con.
13, like, whatever. They do things to my brain, Jesse. 13.
Here's the thing: like nothing happened to mine. It was fine one day, and then it was the right blue Joy-Con, so the flipped neon just stopped clicking in the right stick.
That sounds like it.
Guess when I discovered that. Right in the middle of a game of Splatoon 2.
I'm dead.
It's like, oh, I'm going to go set off my bombs. No, I'm not. I'm dead again. And,
all right.
Yeah. And Colin from the Patreon chat has already had like the, I don't know what you call it, but it's like the little rim around the inside of the left stick.
Oh, where it chips off, yeah.
Cracked and flaked off.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's not good.
But you know what? Here's the crazy thing about it. I call Nintendo and they're like, yeah, we'll do that repair for you for free. We're going to need you to send in your entire Switch.
I'm like, why?
Yeah, like, why do you need the whole thing?
To fix the click on the right stick? Why do I need to send in my whole Switch?
Yeah, forget that business, man.
You can delete all of my Zelda save data? No, thank you.
This is
an easy $39 fix at GameStop.com.
You get some wild colors too. So there you go. Fortunately, no trouble with mine, but I also don't use the Joy-Con that much. I typically play in dock mode unless I have to take a train ride on a very rare occasion, and that's when I get to use the Joy-Cons a bit more.
Great. You took a train ride recently to Nintendo New York store.
Yes, I went up to New York because I had an event with Nintendo, got to try out their holiday lineup. So I got to play a little bit more Odyssey, just the same E3 demo, so nothing too new there. I got to play Doom on the Switch and Skyrim and a couple of those other games. I was really excited because they were supposed to have Xenoblade Chronicles 2 there, but there was some sort of mix-up and they didn't get the game in as part of their demos. And it was there for LA when Ash went. But I didn't get to play Xenoblade, so I was like, dang it. That was the one I was really excited for to finally try out, and I missed out on it. But it was still cool. Like, I don't know if you guys have had an opportunity to play Doom on the Switch yet.
No, we'd like to hear about it, though.
That game, I am shocked how well it plays on. Like, really? They were only allowed to play on handheld mode, but still – I mean, it's only 30 frames per second, which a lot of people are like, I don't know. It plays so smooth. Like, I'm terrible at telling frames per second anyway, but it's smooth. It's fast. It is just plays beautifully. I'm like.
Yeah, I don't understand a lot of the people complaining about 30 or 60. The
Switch. Yeah.
As long as they're consistent, it really doesn't matter. Most people can't tell. Yes, I know there are some people that have the highly tuned eyes, and I can't tell. But as long as it's a constant maintained 30, it's fine, especially at a handheld. It's doing a lot more than anyone ever thought that this thing would do.
Yeah, I have no idea how it does it, Doc. I'm sure it's fine, but my God, in handheld, it is so good to have it like that. Like
a year ago when we first saw Karen on that roof, if she was playing Doom, we would have thought, no way in hell.
Shout out to
Karen. As somebody who just picked up an Xbox One and downloaded the Doom demo, like, I played it and I was blown away by how fast that game is, like, just the gameplay of the game. You know, you're constantly moving, shooting. Hearing you say that it plays smoothly on a Switch just makes me even more excited, because I was like, you know, I could get this game for the Xbox, or I could wait and get it for my Switch and take it with me. And I think I'm going to wait. So that's good.
I was glad I had a point of comparison, because I did get the PS4 version and could compare it to that. And I mean, it had been a while, but I didn't feel any major difference.
Yeah. By about the time you're ready to come up from air from Odyssey, Marty, it'll be about the time that Doom's hitting. So you'll be just perfectly timing. Now, speaking of craziness, obviously, Derek, you've got a very busy November coming up here. Right, you have got some huge games. You want to talk to us a little bit about what you're excited to be playing, I guess, as it comes up to it, and your landscape of hell for November.
Yeah, I mean, the funny thing is, it's a landscape of hell, but it's only two games. That's just how big these games are. So, of course, we have Pokemon Ultra Sun and Ultra Moon coming in eventually. I don't have either game yet. I don't know when we're getting them in or anything like that, but I just know they're in the same time frame because. Ultra Sun, Ultra Moon comes out November 17th. Hopefully see that at a decent time, so I have time to get through it. But the thing is, they've already announced that just the script for Ultra Sun and Ultra Moon is twice the size as the original Sun and Moon. Oh. So I don't know how big that's going to be, but it's going to be a little bit more meaty than the original one. Maybe it's going to be a similar experience, but there's enough new stuff. And
they say that, really, you know, they say that like it's a good thing, but like, Sun and Moon almost got a little too talky sometimes. And like, if it's just going to be like, just like all of these, like just constantly sitting and like, you know what I mean? Like, especially like I'm thinking about for my son who's 7 years old and he's just like super pumped for this game, and holding him off until Christmas is going to be a task. I don't know. Like, I don't know if like when I saw that, I was like, I was not excited for that. So I don't know.
I see. I kind of dug it because I like how Pokemon has sort of gotten a little bit more involved. Like, it started with Black and White and kind of dropped the ball with X and Y. And I felt like Sun and Moon, they had some really strong characters in there, especially Lily. Like, she was just a fantastic character. Now, I see on replays, once you've seen all these scenes, it gets like, all right, get me past this. I want to get to the gameplay. I don't care about these cutscenes. So hopefully they have a skip option for that sort of idea where you can just skip past them if you don't care about them. But I thought they were well done. I thought they invoked the sort of the ideas of the anime almost with how epic they were trying to be. Like, I felt like Sun and Moon was the first time Pokemon really got close to a more traditional RPG, which I liked. It had that those stakes and those ideas and those characters. It was still very much Pokemon, but it was that step in that direction. And I'd like to see how they maybe expand upon that with Ultra Sun and Ultra Moon. But I'm also a sucker for story. Like, I love, like, I'm okay with having a little bit more involved story. Hopefully it's a good one, but we'll see how that actually goes. So I am excited for Ultra Sun and Ultra Moon, but of course that's going to be a pretty meaty game. There always is with Pokemon. But on top of that, December 1st is when Xenoblade Chronicles 2 comes out. Geez. And if you have any familiarity with the other Xenoblade games, it's essentially a 100-hour game. There is no way it's not a 100-hour game, if not more. And with X, we got it a month early. Hopefully that's the case for 2 as well. But that also means I'll be playing it at the same time as Pokemon, so I'm going to have to be balancing coverage of both those games because those both fall under my umbrella as far as what we typically cover. So, yeah.
On the games that you don't cover, don't forget Persona 5 will cry if you don't keep poking at that too.
I know. I got a little bit farther and then like, nope, we're back in the grind. So I'm like December. That's when I really want to nail down on like on Persona 5. Hopefully.
The game is so good. I can't wait for the anime.
So here's what we're saying, Derek. I feel like we have this connection. I feel like we're really close. I see like you're under a lot of stress in November. So here's what we're going to volunteer right now. Is that any member of this team will be happy to jump into the Real Talk Game Explained podcast and take over for you for a month just to make sure it gets done so that you can devote your time and whatever you need. We're there for you.
Right? We're there didn't for telegraph you. At all. We all started laughing.
So, you know, but good luck to you. That's crazy.
Yeah, thanks. I mean, I enjoy the Real Talk podcast. I mean, that is I like I've said many times, that podcast has sort of become my baby. I like getting in there, just talking about the various things, sort of unwinding. It's a good time.
I half expect I would love to hear this phone call with you and Andre, and it's like, no, God damn it, Andre, you show up for once. You show up and you do this podcast so that I can go to get Pokemon and Xenoblade. I don't care what you're doing. Get on here. So
I'm going to try to, like, especially since Odyssey just came out, I'm going to really push for him to be on this week because I want to pick his brain.
I think you need to have like what we would call real talk with Andre. Real talk, Andre, show up. That's
right. It's funny. A fan did a table of who showed us up the most for the podcast. And I think Andre was like at 56% of the podcast by that point. But he also keeps very busy, or he takes these crazy trips that he does in order to just not quite around. So it happens. He's a busy guy.
That sounds like excuses is what that sounds like.
It also could be excuses. It's very likely.
Yeah. In all fairness, I actually kind of do that to this show a couple times too. I'm like, no, guys, I'm somewhere else. See you. Bye-bye.
Yeah.
All right.
All right. Well, so, guys, let's jump into what we have been playing. Here. Zach, do you have a bumper for that?
I do. Here. Right now. All right.
All right.
That must mean he's not level 14 yet.
Nope. Actually, hang on. Let me. Oh, here. Like, I'll even. Oh, I didn't even turn it down. Oh no, I totally am level 14. Actually.
Jeez. Oh, Zach's been playing Animal Crossing, camping thing. So we'll move on to somebody else. Actually, we'll start with Derek. What is as our guest of the show, sir? What have you been playing that you want to talk about?
I mean, it's mainly been Fire Emblem Warriors. I've been sort of crack it away at that because, there's a lot to unlock and I've been trying to unlock as much, get through and unlock everything so I can do like compilation videos potentially. I know there's some out there already, but I want to got to get through all of history mode so I can get all the costumes unlocked, get all the extra characters unlocked, and then I can start doing those other compilations. But it takes a while. History mode has about 20 different battles.
How far have you gotten? Like, I've been trying to – we got a review code from NOE, and so I've been playing this game for a couple of weeks too. And there's a couple – yeah, there's a few of these that, like, it gets really hard.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's – I didn't end up liking it as much as Hyrule Warriors, but I the way I describe it is I feel like Fire Emblem Warriors is a more consistent experience across the board, but Hyrule Warriors has those really high highs that just push it over the edge. But I do like how the elements of Fire Emblem get brought into this game and do make it challenging and do like make you have to reuse strategy and ideas with it. But I've gotten pretty solid. I try to keep all my characters at a consistent level, so Liana, who I chose as my main character, is at level 60 while everybody else is around level 50, but they're catching up. I finished collecting all of the Anna's maps from the story mode, so including the hard mode stuff. Got all those, got those completed. Found out what happens when you finish one of those pictures that you collect for each one. So what that does is add an extra hard mission to the history modes for those different maps. So
isn't it like level 80 or something crazy like that? Yes,
it is level 80, and I'm like, holy crap, I'm not even strong enough to handle the level 60 stuff that happens when you finish the storyline for the history mode stuff. And there's 5 history mode maps, and I've fully completed 2, except for all the extra stuff that happens like after you finish the main story.
Or whatever they are.
So yeah, level 60 portals.
Is this all similar to what they did with the mobile game where you can just play the same map but everything's all psyched up? Or is this different? Yeah.
It's like, so you play the same maps from this story mode. You don't really get any different maps, but they do have different mission types, like defeat 600 opponents in 2 minutes or 3 minutes or something like that, or a variation of a story thing, or rescue these guys and then defeat the boss, or various things like that. To try to keep it fresh. Now, it is becoming a bit of a grind to get through all this because you can only kill these guys over and over again for so long. So it's fun to see it. It's cool to get those unlockables and see, like, actually promote your units and see the new costumes. But mainly what I do is I throw in a podcast or a vlog or some music or something else and just turn off my brain and start just going through it. It's a fun game, but I basically did the same thing with Hyrule Warriors. You don't really have to think with this game. Just turn off your brain and kill a bunch of dudes. And otherwise, yeah, I don't think I've been playing much else. I've basically waiting for Odyssey, and I know when Odyssey comes out, it's going to be work games, and then, okay, midnight, I should go to bed, but let's squeeze in 2-3 hours of Mario Odyssey before I go to bed.
Yeah, I feel bad for, like, anyone who's trying to drop games this week, or next week, or probably, like, until November 10th, essentially, you're pretty much, like, stay clear. Like, give Mario some wide berth here, basically.
And anybody and who's released recently.
Which was shot with Pokemon.
Yeah.
And anybody who's released anything recently too, like, I hope you enjoyed your time in the sun, because nobody's going to be buying anything else for a while either. Right?
I mean, I don't think there's anything else really coming out on the Switch, but it is a kind of a big release date because the 17th also has Assassin's Creed Origins and Wolfenstein 2, which both seem like pretty big games for their respective consoles. Now, granted, neither of those are coming to the Switch. So I think for people who don't have a Switch, Mario is not as big of a deal, but 17th in general is also kind of big because Stranger Things season 2 starts. So it's like balancing all this stuff.
Yeah.
It's kind of a crazy day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's going to be mad. So guys, buckle in for Friday, cause it's going to be a pretty big day. It'll be interesting to see. I mean, the entire internet will probably be either, you know, be screaming or happy about something. So it's great. Jesse, sir, quick sound bites. What have you been playing?
Most of my time has been with Picross S. When I first bought it, I played a few levels and then just went on with other things. I think Golf Story came out the same week. But so I was able to just, you know, crunch through most of this game. I got the regular Picross mode fully completed, and I think I have like 2.5 pages left of the Mega Picross to finish. But we had the conversation about broken Joy-Cons earlier. Partway through, when I went to get it out of sleep mode to continue playing, all of a sudden, my left Joy-Con stopped working. Like it wouldn't even power on. The system didn't see it, even though it was connected to the system. So I'm like, oh crap, I'm gonna have to replace it, aren't I? So for the short term, I borrowed one of my daughter's extra Joy-Cons because she wasn't using it. But so Sunday morning, I called Nintendo to support to see what we can do. And turns out it was a very simple fix.
That's good, at least.
Yeah, there's a small little reset button between the LS and the RS buttons when it's undocked. I just had to push and hold that for about a second or two, and then it power cycled, it resynced, and it automatically repaired, and then everything's working again. So I'm like, oh, good. I don't have to pay anything. I don't have to send in my system to get my Joy-Con fixed. And I told her that. And she goes, yeah, well, we do that because, depending on the problem, it might be the Switch's fault, not the Joy-Con's fault. Though I agree with Marty's example. That wasn't the Switch's fault for the L3 click button to not work anymore. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, great.
Anyway, so that's really all I've been doing, and I've been trying to burn through the Picross until 23 and a half hours left before I'll be able to play Odyssey.
There you go. Everyone's counting down. Awesome.
Hallelujah.
Marty asked us, what you've been playing, sir.
I have been playing Party Golf from Giant Margarita, and oh my gosh, this may be my favorite game on the Switch so far.
Whoa, what?
Wow. I'm not kidding.
Okay, this
game is everything you want in a multiplayer game and more. You don't even have to like golf. It's not even golf.
Okay, you're like, blowing my mind with this right now. It's the
thing from golf that there could be. I mean, the only concept of golf here is you're hitting a ball into a hole.
What's with switching to the awesome golf games?
But so anyway, Party Golf, the basic premise is you're and most levels are like this. If you play it, you're either uphill or downhill from a hole that looks a little bit like it could be a little bit of a challenge to get into. You use the left stick to aim the arc, and you use the A button to hit the ball. That's it. That's the only controls for the entire game, unless you have power-ups, which we'll talk about in just a second. And if the ball goes off the screen, you have to start over, and it's kind of like a race to see who can get the ball in the hole first. And here's the thing. If you get the ball in the hole first, you get 100 points. But even if you – and then it goes like it's 150, 20, and 10. And – even if you're close to the hole, like say nobody makes it in, because there's some levels, these levels are completely randomly generated, by the way, in any mode that you play them in. Some levels you cannot finish. You cannot do it. And whoever is closest to the hole gets 100 points. So it kind of keeps it moving.
Is it a time limit?
There's a time limit on the levels. It doesn't show you that in the beginning, but eventually it'll start like a 10-second countdown. When somebody gets their ball in the hole, it starts a 10-second countdown. So there's this mad rush to start flinging your golf ball as fast as you can to try to at least get close to being in the hole. But we played, me and my wife and my kids sat down to play the very first game, and from the minute we started playing, I knew – This is going to be something.
We were screaming.
My kids were jumping up in the middle of the floor and laughing and dancing. It was the perfect couch co-op game.
I am so surprised that this is such a glowing review. I haven't played this multiplayer, so granted, right? But the simplicity of this game is what is like. I guess my follow-up question is, how much of this is the fact that you and your family love to play these kinds of games?
Yeah, that's a great question. I wonder, because it's not that much fun with single player.
It's not. It's,
let's be honest. It's not. I mean,
it is called party golf.
Like the single player for me, and you can play in quick play, which is kind of like vanilla party golf, if there is such a thing, where it's just like the balls are you know, regular golf balls, and there's no power ups and things like that. But you have the, you know, kind of extreme differentiated terrain and things like that. You can play quick match, and I kind of feel like that is kind of like just practice. But you can also hop in single player and play any of the various game modes. And the cool thing about this is you can change these game modes at any time during the game. And you can even like change some of the options with them. The first one we played, and this is where I knew that this was going to be a game we were going to play a lot, is called Animal Kingdom. And every golf ball or every person's ball was in the shape of a different animal. If they touch each other, they stick together for some reason, and you had to get the ball in the hole. So I was a whale. My son was a monkey. My wife was like a toucan or something, and I forget what my daughter was. But like, imagine getting like the object is to get your ball in the hole, but like your ball is stuck to another person's ball and you're both shooting in opposite directions and you're both yelling at each other. And like, why are you going that way? What do we got to go this way? You know, we'll get points if we go over here. You're like bouncing off the walls and doing everything, just nuts. So then the second game we played was called, I think it's called Bananarama. And oh, everybody's ball is a banana.
So, this is like
I think I can see why your kids would like this.
I think I think I saw this episode of The Simpsons where the bus.
It's just like
banana.
The thing about it is it's just it's like it's wacky enough that you just keep going, okay, I gotta see one more. I've gotta play one more. I gotta see what happens next. But the matches move so fast and it's so easy to pick up. Anybody can play it. You know, literally, if you can press the L stick in a direction and hit the A button, there's modes that have all kinds of stuff. There's water hazards and bombs and spikes and all kinds of crazy stuff. Armageddon, which has like stuff falling from the sky. There's one called Bananas from Heaven, and like just throughout the level, you've got a regular golf ball and bananas are falling from the sky the entire time. And then there's power-ups. And I've already mentioned these. Like there's you can
put, sounds like the oddest thing I've ever heard.
You can put a rocket booster on your golf ball so that like after you hit it, you can hold down the X button and it can fly in the direction you're holding the L button. Or there's a force field. So like we were playing a match the other night and we all have force fields. So I was already in the hole and my son hit it and he was gonna make a hole in one. But I hit my force field at the right time, and it blew his ball out of the hole and blew it completely off the map.
You repelled it?
Yeah. That's so, awesome. Like, it – I don't know. Like, it. Call me crazy, best multiplayer game on the Switch.
And then when you're saying multiplayer, it is actually even up to 8-player matches.
It is.
Oh, wow.
That's incredible. Yeah, 4-player local multiplayer and even 8-player matches with everyone using their own Joy-Con. Over 100 included game modes that make you that can make your own with your own super powerful customizer. Procedurally generated, 10 different power-ups.
Yeah, that was one thing I was going to mention. The game modes are all, you know, there's like 100 something game modes, like you just said, they're in there. But then you can go in and you can choose whatever you want. You know, like there's this just gigantic list of options for matches. And so if you want to play a match that is in these underground caverns with giant bananas that stick to the surfaces that they hit and is filled with exploding mines, you can do that.
Yeah. This
sounds like my high school prom night.
I'm just going to want to get some quick numbers for people in relation to cost if they're interested in this. This write-up is great. The commentary here is, this it's insane. It's instant fun with endless variety. There are trillions of gameplay combinations from a giant banana balls to turbo power ups. The spontaneous couch party may even drive a wedge. between friends, but have everyone shouting out for one more round. So this is actually available on the eShop right now, $15 Party Golf. And this is from our friends over at Giant Margarita, who were kind enough to provide us a review code as well. So thank you very much to them.
Let me make one quick mention here too, so that we don't miss this. There's also, as far as a single player mode, there's trials that you can go through as well through different game modes. There's a default, caves. I'm just looking at some of these: spider ball, banana, slow mo, super speed. So there's actually, you know, any, and each of these have anywhere between 1 to 10 different trials for you to try to beat the time limit or beat the shot limit on.
That's awesome. Cool. Very cool. So guys, check that one out. Maybe a good mental filler between Odyssey. Between what you're doing in Odyssey is maybe like, hey, let's play something different for a bit.
I could see this game definitely being just, and this is my final thought, I could see this game be like you using this game and saying, okay, guys, I know you don't understand what a Nintendo Switch is, but here, take this and let's play this game. And people going, oh, I got to go get me one of these after this. You know, like it's kind of a little, like it can be used as an introductory game to the Switch. And even just with the Joy-Cons, you know, you split these apart and we all can play. And
that kind of thing. That's great. Cool.
Justin, I've got one here as well.
Just the new snipper clips.
Yeah, that's what I use snipper clips on my friends.
Zori, is that what you're saying?
I was just going to say, I do have one thing here that I have been playing a review copy as well.
Yeah, go ahead.
It is called Poi. Explorer Edition, which is this game came out, I think it came out this past week on the Switch, and basically it is Super Mario 64. is the best way, like as far as like actual, like if you're looking at like the game mechanics, go and just like watch a trailer. There's like within the first 5 minutes I actually got achievement for doing the triple jump from Mario 64. It is not trying to be sneaky about the fact that it is trying to be Mario 64. I've been playing a little bit of it. Basically, like instead of stars that you're going after, you have explorer medallions, and instead of Mario, you're like this little explorer guy. Instead of a winged cap, you get a parachute. Like the mechanics of the game are so similar. The platforming is so similar to it that it's like if you just look at the game, it's completely different. But mechanically and sort of the feel of it, it's that sort of 3D platformer. Go through the level, right? Like your sort of hub world is a little bit less, like it's not like the full castle like in Mario 64. You're like on this little airship and you kind of steer yourself to different islands, but it's pretty tight. It's a pretty good game. The thing is that part of what makes Mario 64 so wonderful is the world that it takes place in, right? And sort of the visual wonder of a Nintendo game. This game, visually, the only way that I can really describe it, and I don't know if you guys are going to even understand this reference, but like it kind of like a while ago, we went to IKEA and bought one of their like storybooks. And, you know, like that sort of like Northern European sort of like aesthetic. I don't really know how else to, you know what I mean, though? Like when I say that, like it seems like IKEA made this game a little bit, like really. I don't know how else to, like, and not IKEA like the furniture, but like IKEA, like if you've ever set foot in the kids section of IKEA, that is the aesthetic that this game feels. I don't even know how else to describe it, but go and look at it and tell me I'm wrong, because like I don't know if you guys are looking at it right now, but that's seriously like the feel of like the art style and the you know, the sort of the 3D models and all that sort of stuff. Very clean, very good, but also, unfortunately, like very forgettable at the same time, like very generic. You know what I mean when I say that? Like it's not going to blow you away. It's not insanely imaginative. It's just kind of like, oh, that's kind of cute. And that's it. Right. So visually, that's the only real downside I can say about it, is that it's like these little, the little creatures are not, you know, they're, it's, I don't want to necessarily say that makes it bad. It's just that that is the, it's not, you know, if it is referencing Mario and those sorts of things, it's like a, it, it's not, it, it doesn't add anything to that formula, I guess. And it's, so yeah, anyway, so that's Poi. And again, it's been out on Steam and PC. Like, this is the Explorer edition, so I think they've got a bunch more levels that are added to it. Like I don't know if this game had DLC or not, but it definitely, like, I'm even just kind of like messing around right now as I'm talking about this. It even goes so far as, like, you have three hearts, which basically is like the three, you know, like in Mario 64, you got like the three hits before you die. It's like the same thing in this game. So,
and actually, it's funny when you're looking at it, I even looked at some of the screenshots, and some of the screenshots even kind of, you can see they're very Mario inspired.
Yeah,
even
the worlds, some of the worlds are very, and
character designs look, I was like, whoa, hold on. I think that's actually a bad guy in one of the Mario games.
It's like if IKEA wanted to rip off Mario, this is what they would have done. Like, yeah. I know they're not in the video game business. Maybe that's a weird example, but
maybe this is their foyer into it.
Yeah. Anyways.
Nice. Okay. Very cool. Awesome. For myself, rounding it out, I will just say that I have been playing Super Mario Odyssey, and that our review and the embargo lifts tomorrow, which is my today. In about 7 hours, I think. So it's like 6 o'clock a.m. Pacific
time.
Yeah,
it's 6 a.m. Pacific, 9 a.m. Eastern. So about 8 hours.
Yeah. So that will go out.
I am honestly like tempted to pause, like, I don't know, or maybe afterwards, just for the podcast listeners, because like we could time the episode to come out afterwards. I know we're streaming live right now and that wouldn't work, but
I don't really want to risk that.
So what I'm saying is, after we record this, if you want to stay on and we can add it to the episode, or do we want to just direct people to the YouTube page for your review?
I'd want to go to the YouTube page.
Okay.
Yeah.
That makes more sense to me. This is also something probably shouldn't be messed with too much.
Yeah. No, I don't want to do that. So, but there will be a video.
I was not suggesting breaking embargo on a live stream. That's not what I was suggesting.
Yeah. Okay. Fair enough. Yeah. I actually got a capture card this week, actually. So I was able to actually capture really good footage. And so you will see that. So this will be an actual video footage scripted review, which we're excited about. And that'll be launching. So guys, check out all of our social media pages. It will launch, and give it a like view, all that kind of stuff.
There's going to be so many Mario reviews tomorrow. Yeah.
And as I was saying, obviously Game Explains will come out tomorrow as well. And guys, I don't want to like talk, I don't want to take poor, like, I don't want to talk poorly emails about Game Explain, but ours is probably going to be like way better. So
I bet I'm going to get 7 emails right at 8:01.
Yeah, exactly. Ding, 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 ding.
I honestly don't know how much Andre has planned other than the review. I haven't talked to him about that, but I've also been staying away just because I want to be as fresh as possible.
Well, and here's the thing,
Justin. I think we're trying to coordinate a discussion with Andre and maybe Roger and myself getting together for a part of the Game Explain, I think.
So here's a question, Justin. This has nothing to do with the review, but for people, even like live listeners now, my understanding is that there is no limit on what reviews can cover as far as the embargo, right? Like, you're allowed to cover, you're allowed to show whatever you want. It's on, like, as far as like in that embargo itself, correct?
I would say this. I kept very cautious on the document because here's the thing is, I didn't want to spoil anything for anyone. I don't want them to come to our video and see something they don't want to have seen. I did not show any kingdoms that you have not seen before. I've kept the footage pretty close to the chest. You may see like a different costume, but nothing that would be like major spoilers or plot points. I actually, when I was filming last night, was actually in a battle with a bad guy or one of the bosses. I cut that out to ensure that wasn't spoiled. So there's some weird cuts. Well, all of a sudden you're like, why does this seem like there's something missing here? Because I removed some of that. So I tried to keep my review spoiler free as well. So I would just say an awareness of that, because everyone's going to start dropping stuff. And I don't know if you want to speak about Andre's about that kind of trying to be spoiler free as well.
Oh, no. I went over his script with a fine tooth comb and I got really nitpicky about what was being shown. Like, even if it was super minor, I'm like, are we sure we don't want to change this in case people get upset? Because this is a game that I could just tell immediately that you want to go in fresh. you don't have anything spoiled for you. You want to be able to get that full experience. Yeah. And we definitely don't want to ruin that for anybody.
Yeah. I kept very close to the written embargo documentation, which is very specific what you cannot show and speak about, and actually tells you where you need to stop. So I was very diligent to that, because, again, I don't want to spoil anything that doesn't need to be. And I think to Derek's point here, these games don't come around every 3 days, right? These are big experiences, and you want to be fresh about it. So we're I'm keeping that approach as well.
Cool. Right, man.
I think it's a good way.
Yeah.
Cool. So.
Yeah. All right. So with that being said, let's jump on to listener mail. Do we have any kind of quick, or do we got a button for that, I guess?
We should have one. Let me wrap right here.
We'll wrap up here. Awesome. And of course, our listener mail is brought to us by our partnership with oneupbox.com. Guys, if you like crazy, geeky, awesome stuff shipped to you every single month, head over to oneupbox.com. Use the offer code NintendoDads to receive funds off your first box. And Marty, we've got a recent box coming or came.
We do. I actually arrived at my house yesterday. And look for a video on that very soon. Perfect. It's actually really cool. This month's theme is despair.
Ooh.
Which, you know, is doesn't actually sound all that inviting, but it's got some cool spooky stuff in there, like some Walking Dead stuff and all that good. So check out YouTube, especially check it out for Justin's review, but then you can come back and watch my one up.
Perfect. I appreciate it. All right. Zach, Marty, what do we got in the mailbag this week?
Okay, so Drew, who is a new patron that we talked about earlier, he writes in and he says this: "Hey, gents, thanks again for all the hard work you guys put into all the podcasts." Aw, how sweet.
That's very nice.
Love you too. He says, "I have two young kids, 3.5-year-old girl and 1-year-old boy. My daughter Zoe knows all the Mario characters and loves watching me play. She actually went through the phase of watching all the old cartoons. What a win for me. So my question is for you guys: at what age is a good age to introduce kids into actually playing, and what are some good games they can understand? Let's be honest, I am just happy she enjoys the concept, and I currently just give her an old controller so she thinks she's playing. However, she's starting to catch on and realizing that she's not actually playing. Thanks, keep up the good work, Drew." And then in parentheses, he has new patron, and then under that, he has Mario.
That's awesome. So what's a good game and what's a good age? What do you guys think of this?
I mean, I sort of refer back to myself. I mean, I know it's different nowadays, but I got my NES when I was about 3 1/4. That's when I first got the NES. Came with Duck Hunt, came with Super Mario Brothers, and that's what I played first. And I mean, I don't know if I was good at the games at the time, but I was definitely, it got me into the gaming and never really let me go, obviously. I was just that much involved. And if she's already into Mario, one of the NES games, I mean, it has simple controls. You only have two buttons to worry about along with the D-pad. And she might have difficulty, but I mean, that will teach her to gradually get better and better at the game and build up those skills. Yeah. That's one thing I have to commend Nintendo for back in the day. Like, you might have got your butt kicked, but as a kid, you're pretty determined to actually beat that challenge and at least attempt to. So I think she's already at that age where she can start getting into it. Maybe just find that game that's for him. It might not be NES, but Mario, I do think 2D Mario is a good place to start.
Yeah, I would say find a game that you enjoy playing, right? Because if you enjoy playing it, it's easier for them to play along with it, right? If it's something that you're passionate about and it's something that you find desirable and fun, then it's easy for them to kind of get looped into that. So finding an engaging two-player game, Super Mario World might be a great example of it, right? Where it's a little bit looser controls, you're able to kind of be fluid. You know, just something that you enjoy having that experience with, right? I mean, I would definitely not say, like, you know, Killer Instinct should be definitely their first game. But
Mortal Kombat.
Yeah, exactly. I think find whatever
that. Castlevania 2,
like
someone in chat said. I'm like, oh, ouch. Not only is a chatty game for an NES, but so many translation errors, it's useless.
I don't know who said that, but I'm going to tell you, not even adults should play Castlevania 2. Nobody should play Castlevania 2.
Oh, oddly enough, I've been thinking about trying to play it again.
Well, be sure you download the real script off the internet, since they didn't translate it right in the first place.
Yeah. So, Drew, I would say kind of keep to a game that you want to play that's fun and enjoyable for you, and that you enjoy playing along with them, and I think they will find their way. I don't know, Zach. What do you think?
Yeah, I'm actually going to come at this from more of a mental health professional perspective.
Do we have a bumper for that?
No, but we could. But yeah, so I actually just looked this up because I know that there is actually, I knew that there was actual recommendations for screen time in general. And so I looked this up. The American Academy of Pediatrics last year published something, like it was about a year ago, like this month. I'm just going to read a short little quote off of some of this stuff here. It says, problems begin when media use displaces physical activity, hands-on exploration, and face-to-face social interaction in the real world, which is critical to learning. Too much screen time can also harm the amount and quality of sleep, yada, yada, yada. So they have specific recommendations based on age. So they say, for children younger than 18 months, avoid use of screen media other than video chatting. Parents of children 18 to 24 months of age who want to introduce digital media should choose high quality program and watch it with their children to help them understand what they're seeing. So at that age, like early on, like before the age of two, essentially what kids are just looking at colors, right? And like it, like they literally don't even necessarily understand what they're seeing. It just looks like colors to them. They don't have the ability to understand what they're seeing. For children ages 2 to 5 years old, limit screen use to 1 hour per day. And then they say of high quality programs, they're talking about TV. But I would say same thing goes, like before the age of five, it should be 1 hour per day of screen time. And the reason this isn't just like preachy, whatever, like sort of stuff. This is because a child's brain at that early age is developing still. And systems like, systems in the brain that are responsible for controlling attention or emotion regulation or understanding social situations, those are all still sort of developing at that point, which is why going out and playing with friends and face-to-face interaction is important, basically to calibrate those systems appropriately. So that's really, really important that's 1 hour per day. And as I'm reading this, I'm like, oh geez, that's much
you
lower.
You have messed up your kid, haven't you?
Right? Like, he messed up, wow. The kid. I messed up myself. What, right? Are you talking,
where's
about?
Where's a factory reset on Nick?
Yeah, yeah. Can we do that? And then it says, for ages 6 and older, place consistent limits on time spent using media and the types of media, and make sure media does not take the place of adequate sleep, physical activity, or other behaviors essential to health, right? And then they recommend like having media free times. But yeah, before the age of five, I think it's really great to sit down and play with your kids. I think that's important. But I think we've talked about this before, but sometimes it can feel like introducing video games to your kids early on is really important. And I think if it's important to you and it's something you can share together, that's the reason to do it. Right. And it's not like, oh, well, I got to make sure my kid likes video games. It's like, well, no, do it because it's going to be a bonding experience. And again, the American Academy of Pediatrics recommends 1 hour or less per day. There you go.
So Drew, hopefully that gives some insight. I would say if you're looking for specific games, you know, Kirby's are great games, anything that allows them to, you know, not die or perish, but rather kind of respawn quickly and have
epic yarn.
Epic Yarn. Yeah.
Very, Epic Yarn and Yoshi's Woolly World. Yoshi's Woolly World is great too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. I'm actually going to make two recommendations here, one of which you guys will probably agree with and the other will be groan worthy, but I'm going to make it anyway. I would say Lego games, simply because there's no lives, you know, and if they get bored and you still want to play and they want to drop out, you can do that too. Any Lego games, I think would work. Star Wars or, I wouldn't necessarily recommend Dimensions, but, and that's for various reasons right now.
For your own financial.
Yeah. To avoid financial ruin. Here's the other recommendation I would make. And here's where probably the groans come in. I would actually recommend to you since it's you're, it sounds like you're looking at something that can be played together, but also something that would hold your child's attention. Animal Crossing, the Amiibo Festival.
Actually, you know what? I was actually thinking the same thing. Yeah.
You know, you've got the toy element. You've got the board game element. You can sit down and play and actually take time to talk through what's going on. And you know what? That's one of those games. It's if you get bored, you turn it off.
Well, and not only that, Marty, but you can set it. You can set it for a 30-minute timer, right? Like we've done that before.
And you know what the great thing about this game is right now? You can buy it brand new at most GameStops with the Amiibo still in shrink wrap for $10.
Oh, hell, they'll probably just give it to you. Just come on in. Thanks for buying it.
I'm looking at that Animal Crossing game. Like, sir, we'll just give it to you. Are you sure you want it? Well, come on.
And here's a fiver. Please take it. Yeah.
They're paying people to take it now.
And I would say, Drew, if you're looking to understand what a child's look of sadness or disappointment is, just let them play the Sonic Forces demo. All right. So moving on to our next email. This next email actually comes for a new subscriber as well. And it's Michael. And the question is, hey there, dads. I have a few questions that stemmed off of the looming release of Mario Odyssey. I've pre-ordered the bundle so I can finally see what all the hype is about. With the recent reveal of a certain kingdom in the game, we will not say what that kingdom is for spoilers, but there is something revealed. Thinking about what potential other lands could be found that haven't been revealed or bought via DLC. I would love to have a Mario travel to Hyrule, as many games have confirmed that Mario and Zelda franchises are in the same world. Link sleeping in the Mario RPG. Peter runner being the runner from Ocarina. I was wondering what kingdom, Mario or Nintendo history, would you guys like to play around in? So if there was a kingdom, what would you want to play around in?
Sarasa Land. Bring back the strangeness of Sarasa Land, all the weird enemies and locales and how it's kind of based in the real world. I think it could really do a lot with the concepts from Sarasa Land and the original Super Mario Land, and with all the different ways that you can play. I think, I don't know, when I first saw the Jaxi, I thought they were the gals from that game. It was very, very similar. But I don't know. I think it'd be really cool to revisit that and just see how weird they can get and actually have exploding Koopas again.
And to go along with that, too, I think the world from Super Mario Land 2, where they've got the tree zone and the space zone, and Mario Zone, which is like this weird mechanical statue of Mario that you explore inside, like Turtle Zone, you know, like that game. And again, I'm coming from this being that was the most important Mario game of my childhood, was that game, because I was a Sega kid otherwise. So that I would love to have that. That would be super cool. So put the bunny ears in there, too. That was one of the best power ups. So.
I would love to see the Kingdom of Forgotten Nintendo IPs.
No, from
so you just go and there's you know, one of the cars from F-Zero, except now it has a mouth and eyes, and it's all sad because, you know, Nintendo's forgot about it, and you have to go collect moons so that you can power it up so it can come back to.
Nice.
Okay. No, seriously. I think it would be interesting to see some of the more obscure Mario thing. Like the first thought that came to my mind was, what if Mario ended up in Wario Land, where everybody loves Wario and hates Mario?
I love it. Let's do
Being
it.
Being challenged by Captain Syrup.
what if he fell into that whole world where like Wario makes his mini games?
Yeah, kind of like WarioWare. Oh, dude, like a actual like the small town sort of setting of WarioWare games.
You meet all the characters, you know, like the pizza delivery girl and Ashley and
9-volt and
all yes.
All right, so he's got another question. Speaking of kingdoms, it makes me wonder if all or at least most of the Mario franchises maybe live in the same universe. The more cosmic characters. Star Fox, Metroid, Kirby would make more sense to be more advanced in technology, while Mario and for the most part and Zelda seem like they're around the same level of technology and civilization. I thought about this when Breath of the Wild came out, hoping to see Mario in one of the many inns of the land. Interesting. So could there, is there a Nintendo and multiverse that somehow these are all really interconnected?
I mean, in
different ways.
Kinda. I mean, we know that Star Fox and F-Zero take place in the same world,
yeah,
or universe. Since you know James McCloud is one of the racers, and one of the endings for Star Fox Command has Fox and Falco joining the GP League and all that stuff. So there's that aspect. But other than that, I mean, it's entirely possible that like how they're all separated, because you know universes apart, with Kirby being based around space and Metroid and all that. I mean, you could easily explain it away. I don't know if they'll actually come out and say, yeah, they're all part of the same world, just different aspects of the universe, but
yeah,
you could easily explain it as that way.
Yeah, it's very cool.
You could kind of see it in the same way the Avengers works, you know. Yeah. I mean, Asgard is very mythological and you know, Viking-esque and all that, but it has technology. And then you've got Earth.
Yeah, yeah. That's a good point.
Well, then you get the Guardians with the space stuff. So there's different groups of characters for different groups of environments, very mm-hmm. much like the Nintendo card characters. You know, the previous conversation about the different kingdoms kind of gave me a flashback of how the Captain N show was organized, if you remember that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. If not, look it up.
Yeah. So he says, anyways, hope you dads are just as excited for Mario Odyssey as I am. Yes, we absolutely are. So thank you very much for that, Michael. We appreciate that. And appreciate you, of course, being a Patreon supporter as well. Zach, were you able to queue up that sound clip for us?
I can play that real quick. I just put a message in the chat, by the way. So just take a look at that, too. Okay.
Well, are you ready for that sound clip? I got another question we can quickly answer.
I can. It's going to take me 2 seconds to do it, but yeah.
Okay.
maybe. Wait, okay. The Google Voice app is being slow here.
Okay.
Hang on. Wait. Oh, I got it. Everyone, this is good radio. See, this is suspense. Everybody's excited now. All right, here we go.
Is that what we're called?
Yeah.
Is that what we call this?
All right, here we go.
Hi, Nintendo Dad. This is Tim Alf, otherwise known as NeoPrime33 in Discord or Twitter. I just wanted to call and leave you guys a question. Had a thought of seeing some of these other franchises that are done on a yearly basis. If Nintendo did one of their franchises on a yearly basis, which franchise would you choose for them to do? Quality, of course, they would do, but which one would you pick? Thanks, Nintendo Dad.
That's great. No, that's Tim. And thanks very much, Tim, for leaving that phone call in and actually making Mildred do some work. We have her it's nice that she actually does some work occasionally. That's fantastic. So that's a great question. What franchise would you want to see yearly? Ooh.
I mean, we kind of had one franchise yearly for we had a new one of those every year for a long time.
Which was that? Sorry, until it's for a sec.
Mario Party.
Yeah.
Mario Party.
I thought you were going to say Fire Emblem, because I feel like that actually happened as well.
That's definitely been picking up in the yearly pace. And I'd say even Kirby has had yearly releases to a degree.
And Pokemon's been close.
Yeah. There's been a new mainline Pokemon release, whether it's a new generation, a remake, or like the third game, almost every year in their 20-year history. I think there's only been 3 years where they actually had a year off.
Yeah.
So it's nuts. As for which one I'd pick, I don't know, because I normally like the idea of yearly releases, because I feel like the quality goes down or you get sick of it a lot sooner. So that's a hard one to pick. That's basically asking me which franchise do I want to see go die eventually. Well,
that is a little bit of it, right? Because it becomes oversaturated, right?
Yeah. That's what we saw with Guitar Hero, as we saw with Call of Duty for a while. I mean, it's still there, but it took a dip from what it was.
So can the answer be none?
I mean, maybe.
I don't see this as a question of yearly releases. I see it as there are games that I would like to see receive yearly DLC that would reinvigorate the game. And specifically, I'm looking at Mario Kart. I don't think it's completely outside the realm of Nintendo's doing that they could do a yearly pack of Mario Kart DLC that would add four characters and a four tracks or eight tracks to, that would expand that game. I mean, look at what they've done with Mario Kart 8.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, and there's definitely, like, you want to talk about bringing back some Mario Kingdoms and some different things, or even just I think that might be a good way to transition Mario Kart 8 over into Nintendo Kart or Smash Kart or whatever they want to call it, if and when it does get there. Yeah. And they could do that with other ones too. Like if there's, you know, puzzle games like Picross, instead of doing a yearly release, do yearly DLC.
Yeah.
Just do new puzzles. Do new packs for that. There's several games that would work with. And I think Mario Party could even go along the same way. Find a formula for Mario Party that works and then do yearly DLC for it. Release some new boards, release 50 new mini games and three new boards. It's $25.
Yeah.
Great. You know, I don't know. Mm-hmm. I would be more inclined to buy that than a brand new game because mm-hmm. you're right. A lot of these yearly releases do end up being very derivative and, you know, end up killing franchises.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Very cool. Great question, Tim. Thank you very much for that one. So guys, we're just about kind of rounding out the hour here and heading out. But Derek, before we do that, where can people find you and everything that you do?
I love you.
You can find me. I love you too. you can find me on Game Explain, the YouTube channel. Just look it up on the YouTube search bar. We do discussions, analysis, reviews, previews, what have you. And then we also have our own weekly podcast that we do every Friday, releases for everybody on Mondays, where we just sort of shoot the breeze and see what we've been up to the past week, cover the news and go on from there. So yeah, you can definitely, as with you guys, you can look forward to our Mario Odyssey review tomorrow, 9 a.m. sharp Eastern. And hopefully for me, with If I Don't Die, Pokemon and Xenoblade Chronicles as well.
Absolutely. Yeah, yeah, guys. And if you guys have not subscribed to Game Explain, what are you doing with
what
your
are
life?
You doing?
Fantastic content.
By the way, was my mic on when I was talking to my wife?
All we caught was that you love Derek. Oh. That was all.
Yeah. You said, I heard you say I love you as soon as we were getting getting my section. And I was like,
I was like, Derek, thanks for coming on. You want to tell us who you are? And you were like, I love you.
Well, I do. You know, I mean, I do.
Weird moment. I was like, oh, that's weird.
I was talking to my wife. She's on her way home.
Sure you were.
Yeah, yeah.
Both. Sure. Both. Words have so many meanings.
Both. But yeah, guys, make sure you have checked out, subscribed to the amazing work that Game Explain does. Good friends of our show as well, which we're happy to work with them, partner with them and stuff. And great podcast, by the way. I do really enjoy Real Talk every single week. It's one of my absolute must downloads. So fantastic. So yeah, Derek, thanks so much for joining us. And God bless your soul in the month of November. We'll be thinking of you.
What is that?
Good sir.
The
good
Hunger
sir.
Games sign here.
Oh, yeah. The thing up there. Yeah. Whoever I mean, the funny thing is I'm looking forward to it. It's just going to be God help me if I want to do anything else with my life.
Yeah.
We'll see if they can maybe deliver pizza to your door on a daily basis or something for you to survive.
Joker says hi.
There you go.
Yeah.
Marty, what should people be knowing that we're doing?
Well, I'm glad you ask. You need to be playing Metroid Prime for our October Retro Rewind. You can download that on the Wii U eShop. You can get the Metroid Prime Trilogy Collection, or just go find a GameCube and play it there. Also, Extra Life is coming up. We have an Extra Life team. We'll be participating the first 2 weeks of November. There's various people doing it at different times. I know Tim, that you heard earlier, he's doing a stream on November 4th. I'll be doing a stream on November 9th into November 10th. And we would love it if you would donate some money to that and help out kids, because that's really what Extra Life is about. It's about helping out kids in need, helping hospitals like the one that my daughter was in when she was 2 months old. So this is actually personal for me, and I'm excited to get to take a part in it. And, you know, really the reason we want you to donate money to is that we really, 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 really want to beat Mega Dads.
Yeah, that's really the real root of it.
And so,
kids are nice, but beating John
kids Adam are great. Are really yeah, you know, helping kids, helping sick kids is great, but yeah, but beating mega dads is better. So you can go over and find us at extra-life.org and just search for Nintendo Dads. And again, check out those streams. They're coming, and there'll be various ways you can donate and participate during that time as well.
Yeah, and if you maybe don't want to just donate, but you also actually just want to do Extra Life, and you're looking for a team to join, we are also welcome for you to join our team.
Yes.
As well, so more the merrier. Come on in. We're gonna be giving away prizes during Extra Life as well. For our people who have been donating funds and who are also members of this team. So, guys, there's lots of value and lots of reasons to join us. And, of course, our primary reason is to beat John Adam, but also to raise funds for children. Those are the important things, guys. Marty, anything else we need to be aware of?
No, not right now. Oh, yeah. So for those of you who may have not listened to the newest episode of Retro Rewind, there are changes coming to that show after the Metroid Prime episode. The biggest change is going to be that we are going to be selecting those titles, and they'll kind of go face-to-face in kind of a celebrity deathmatch, Splatoon 2 Splatfest type one-on-one contest where you'll decide the winner that we all play. So be on the lookout for that as well.
Nice. Excellent. All right, guys. I think that is about it for us. So with that being said, guys, if you want, you can, of course, tune into everything that we do. You know, I haven't done the outro very often.
Yeah, I can take it, man. I got it. I can do it.
Okay. Hey, okay. Sorry. Let me back up. Zach, could you do the outro?
I would love to do that. Of course. Again, first off, thanks again, Derek, for being on the show. Huge thanks and Godspeed. as well, of course, for everybody at home, if you want to listen to or if you want to follow us on all the social medias, you can do so on Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram at Nintendo Dads. If you want to email us, you can do so nintendodads@gmail.com. If you want to watch videos, you know, watch us play some games, Twitch or YouTube, look for Nintendo Dads. You will find us there. If you want to call in and leave us a voicemail, you can do so 929-25-NDADS. That's 929-256-3237. Huge thanks to OC Remix for our music throughout the show, as well as to both Carter Johnson and Adam Leonard from Mega Dads. Even though he's going to lose, thank you for the art because you are a talented man. And finally, if you want to change the world, which I know that you do, go to iTunes, leave us a 5-star review. Written reviews are even better. And if you want to subscribe, go to iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and of course, VGTribune.com. For me, for Justin, for Jesse, for Marty, and for Derek, we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Nintendo Dads.
Yep.
Okay, and tell me when we're live streaming.
We're live streaming.
Oh, perfect. Thank you very much. I appreciate the telling. 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to Nintendo Dads, episode 152, recorded on October 25th, 2017. On tonight's episode, we discuss Animal Crossing Pocket Camp, the new iOS app, and some new revelations and updates from the new 4.0.0 update for the Nintendo Switch and lots more. Our special guest tonight is... crap.
Hello, I'm Derek
crap
Bittner.
Is not an answer. I know Derek that's Bittner not, from Game Explain joins us.
Derek music. Bittner. Derek Bittner.
I'm so glad I'm so memorable.
I'm terrible with names. I'm sorry.
No, Derek. I am too. I am totally bad with names.
Let me do that again. I'm sorry.
It's already preserved.
I really don't care.